KGRGFM, KGRGFM HD1 Auburn, also broadcasting on K207 AP Sumner Lake Taps 89.3 FM. You're listening to The Buzz, and I'm going to give a quick PSA because I swear the next person I find who thinks they can drive out in the rain or doesn't feel if they don't feel comfortable driving out in the rain, that's fine too. Just don't. It shouldn't take me an hour to get from Tacoma to Auburn. It really shouldn't. So, if you don't feel comfortable driving out in the rain, don't drive out in the rain. It's going to be that easy. I understand you have places to be. Take a bus, man. Take a train, whatever. Just don't get in my way. Because I got a show to run, damn it. It's going to be a really awesome show, too. I got your tickets for I Prevail. First chance to win those is going to be at 6:30. Second chance at 7:30. And your final chance this morning at 8:30. We have Hash It Out. I'm super excited about that. We have your six-pack. We got your geeky news. And of course, we're going to be talking about the morning after. If you don't remember, I have their interview, or at least the interview I did, the first interview they've ever done right here on KGRG. It's on KGRG.com. But they have a huge gig coming up, and I'm going to be talking about that a little bit later. I'm really excited for those guys. Like, this next step they took is huge. I'm going to give you a hint. You can catch them next Thursday at the Showwear Center. I'm going to leave it at that for now. But stay tuned to The Buzz. I'm super excited. And we'll be back with your geeky news after Ocean Avenue by Yellow Card.
Geeky news. Geeky news. Geeky news. Geeky news.
Geeky news. KGRG 89.9 FM. Time for your geeky news. It's 6:20 as usual. And this morning's has definitely gotten a little weird. Just to explain, let's go ahead and hop into it with our first news story. I didn't think that Mel Gibson would ever get work again. No, not gonna lie, let alone when it comes to Suicide Squad. Rumor has it that Suicide Squad 2 and Warner Brothers, they're eyeing Mel Gibson to direct it, and I'm not sure why. Warner Brothers has Mel Gibson on a short list of directors to put together Suicide Squad 2. Might the rehabilitation of Mel Gibson back into Hollywood be complete? His most recent film is director Hacksaw Ridge has proved a success and earned Gibson another Best Director Oscar nomination. It is now being reported that Warner Brothers has him on a short list to direct Suicide Squad 2. The director of the first Suicide Squad, David Ayer, is set to focus on Gotham City Sirens instead, the movie that brings together female foes such as Catwoman, Poison Ivy, and Harley Quinn, that leaves a vacancy for Suicide Squad 2. A Hollywood Reporter has broken the news that Warner Brothers is courting Gibson to direct the new film, and notes that it's early days and a formal offer hasn't been made, nor has Gibson made a comment to the project. He is said to be getting the material, however, and it seems that he has shown some interest given that he's developed every project he's directed to date himself, though Gibson strikes this as a long shot for this one. Like, nothing against the guy. He is kind of a whack job. I don't know if he's the right one to fit. I think at this point, Warner Brothers is just trying to toss stuff against the wall and see what sticks, and that's not going to end well. And better news, though, it looks like we are going to get Injustice 2 for mobile devices, and that's super exciting. And Injustice 2 has been confirmed for mobile devices. NetherRealm Studios' Ed Boon took to Twitter to deliver the news. While we wait on more info, let's take a look at what the pictures tell us. First off, it's the most obvious thing. It looks like you will have three heroes at your disposal during matches. This feature differs from the console version, which is traditional 1v1. Second, looks like we also get Predator Batman. Not sure what that means, but we get him. We also did some digging, and nothing came up but the Batman vs. Predator comic book series. And it could be just Batman alternate outfit, but if it's Batman with Predator-like tools, it could be pretty exciting. In either case, no real details yet. We just know that we're getting it from mobile devices. And sometimes the mobile game doesn't port over as well. We'll see how it goes. I know that we end up getting an Injustice game for mobile later and ended up being like card-based. Wasn't as fun. Our last bit of geeky news. It's an iOS Easter egg for all those with iPhones. I don't have one, so I'm a little upset about it. You can turn Siri into Lego Batman's computer. This one, I'm going to have to make sure Matt and Tim from Not Too Much Buzz Show know about it. Because I know that Matt just saw it. But Apple has been known to have a little fun every now and then with Siri in the past, and with the launch of the Lego Batman movie they delivered once again, all you have to do is your best Will Arnett impression. And truthfully, it doesn't even have to be particularly good. Just open your conversation like Google Batman would by starling, "Hey Pooter," or "Hey Computer," and Siri will start playing her part in response. She'll reply with, "How can I help you, Lego Batman?" She's also been programmed to chime in with dialogue that meshes in with the movie, like telling you she's taken the liberty to microwave the lobster Thermidor that the real Lego Batman nearly nuked for 20 minutes. The pool of quotes isn't particularly deep, but it's still good for a chuckle or two. And honestly, that's really cool. Way to go and, like, actually take the next step there. I don't have an iPhone. I've never owned an iPhone. I've had, like, one of those iPod Touches a while ago. But that's honestly super sick. And that was your geeky news for this hour. We'll be back with your regular news at 6:30 after Without End by Antiflag on 89.9 KGRG-FM. You're listening to The Buzz.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Breaking news. Breaking news.
Breaking news.
This hour's news is brought to you by KGRG Presents I Prevail. They're playing in El Corazon on March 8th if you want those free tickets. That's 253-833-5004. That's 253-833-5004 for free I Prevail tickets.
Yes!
It's free tickets, man. All you have to do is call, and I'll answer the phone, and I'll give you the tickets, and it's real easy. But in the meantime, let's go ahead and get into some news. I know I complained earlier about people not being able to drive in the rain, and that's typical, like, Washington person thing to do. Like, I don't think you've earned your Washington State resident card until you've actually complained about how other people drive in the rain, because it rains here all the time, and you'd think that people know how to drive. But unfortunately, the expected rainfall could increase the risk for landslides. Now, the expected rain could increase the risk for landslides in western Washington. Rainfall amounts will total a half an inch or less in many areas north and west of Everett, but get heavier as you go south. Amounts in the lowlands of 1 to 2 inches through early Thursday will likely send landslide risk into moderate to high category. Heavy rain early Wednesday created messes throughout the morning. Mudslide in Highland Park in the West Yellow blocked streets and cut power. Also, for those traveling on I-90 in Issaquah, mudslide disabled and blocked cars. Trees, rocks, and mud came down the hillside at about 4:45 a.m. this morning, disabling many as a dozen vehicles, but no injuries were reported. Debris across all four westbound lanes. The front street on-ramp is open. Mud is a few inches in some places and a little deeper in others. Large rocks and 1 to 2 trees are across the road. So, I understand if you don't feel comfortable driving in the rain. This is going to be a little PSA for me real quick, so listen real close. If you don't feel comfortable driving in the rain, don't do it. If you don't feel comfortable driving in the snow, don't do it. If for some reason it's too sunny for you to drive outside and you don't have sunglasses or you can't drive in the glare or whatever, don't do it. You're only going to cause problems for other people who actually have places they need to go and can actually drive in the rain. Or the snow, or whatever. So take the bus, take an Uber, take the train. There's a ton of public transportation. Don't cause more problems. I swear. I almost laid into my horn like 3 times this morning because people were acting like idiots. Don't do it. You only make things worse. Next news story, something a little bit less ranty. An Idaho man's pet squirrel goes nuts on a burglar. Meantime, my parents still won't let me have a squirrel. Maybe if I show them this, they'll get me one. But Adam Pearl walked into his home on Tuesday and realized something didn't seem right. Pearl, who lives in Meridian, Idaho, was immediately greeted by his pet squirrel Joey when he got home. But then he started noticing a few doors that were normally closed were open. After making his way back to the bedroom, he feared that his fear was confirmed once he looked at his gun safe. Pearl called the Meridian police, and when Officer Ashley Turner came out to take a look, Joey just had to say hello. Turner asked Pearl if Joey would bite, and he said, "Well, he usually doesn't bite, but you never know. He is a squirrel." Turner went on her way, only to return a few hours later with some of Pearl's stolen belongings and some unbelievable news. She said while she was questioning the individual, he had scratches on his hands, and she asked him, "Did you get that from a squirrel?" And he says, "Yeah, damn thing kept attacking me and wouldn't stop until I left." Joey is now being hailed as a hero. Pearl thanked Joey by giving him Whopper's candy, his favorite treat. And there's something nice about having a pet protecting your stuff. I know that Emmett, my dog, he is the biggest just sort of ball of love ever, and I couldn't imagine attacking anybody, but I could see how he would be intimidating. Squirrels, on the other hand, I know a bunch of people with the irrational fear of squirrels. In fact, my roommate Josh has a fear of squirrels. But I don't get it. They're just sort of small. Not to sound morbid or whatever, you could just sort of step on one and you'd kill it. Plus, I hear they make good eats. The last news story we have for you this morning. Computer donations for Duval students were stolen, and a school employee has been arrested. A man is facing charges after allegedly stealing thousands of dollars in computer equipment that was donated to students from Camp Blanding. Ken Kamagana, age 47, was arrested Friday by the Clay County Sheriff's Office for grand theft. According to police report, deputies say said last November, an individual of the National Guard contacted Kamagana at the Duval County Public Schools, where he works in the technology division, to donate more than $13,000 in computer equipment. Mid-January, the employee contacted the school district to schedule a public relations event to show the donated items were being used, and that's when a red flag went up. His supervisor said Kamagaga never authorized to take donations from Camp Blanding, according to the police report. The police report goes on to say that he took the computer equipment to a scrapyard and sold it for just more than $300. Which is, honestly, a little cheap, but you could have gotten way more. But there's nothing worse than stealing from a school, man. Like, schools have it hard enough as it is. I know that up here in Washington State, a lot of our schools are underfunded. So, if you want to donate to KJRG, you can go to KJRG.com, help us out. Because we have a ton of equipment that luckily hasn't been stolen, but could always use a touch-up every now and then. So, go to KJRG.com, click that donate tab, and we'll hook you up with some stuff, because we got t-shirts and backpacks and a ton of cool stuff. But that was your news for this morning. If you want to win those I Prevail tickets, that's 253-833-5004. We'll be back with some fun facts after Stuck in Your Head by I Prevail on 89.9 KJRG FM. You're listening to The Buzz.
This my house.
I know what you really want.
You're cordially invited, bitch!
This is Fun Facts with Fivus.
Ready for some facts?
Except we're going to do Fun Facts with Cork instead, because Fivus is off being a little potato up there in high school. But if you want to be an intern, you know what? We take Running Start interns here at KGRG. You just have to join Journalism 110. You can be an intern just like Fivus was, and eventually maybe you'll be a part of the show. We'll see. But later on at 8:20, we're actually going to be talking about our earliest musical influences and something that definitely influenced my musical taste and, unfortunately, my cinematic taste as well, was Wayne's World. In case you didn't know, Tuesday was the 25th anniversary of Wayne's World, and I have some fun facts about it. First fun fact about Wayne's World, it was the second SNL movie ever to be made. When Wayne's World was first released in February 14th of 1992, it was only the second movie to be made from a Saturday Night Live sketch. The first was 1980's The Blues Brothers, but the Wayne's World remains the most financially successful SNL movie to date, earning more than $183 million worldwide. Definitely recommend watching those two. Please, for the love of God, do yourself a favor. Do not watch MacGruber. I saw it. Not worth your time. The Wayne's World soundtrack was also a hit. The Wayne's World soundtrack, which included classic rock hits like Jimi Hendrix's Foxy Lady, rose to the top of the Billboard 200 upon its release in February 18, 1992. Bohemian Rhapsody experienced a second life. The 1975 Queen classic reached number 2 on the Billboard charts, which is huge. Paramount was on the fence about backing the film. The sketch did well on SNL, and the film grossed over $180 million on opening weekend, but Meyer said the first reaction was a note from the studio saying they didn't fully understand the concept, and honestly, it's a little bit of a weird movie. The film was not in Aurora, Illinois. Though the film was set in suburban Aurora, Illinois, no parts of the film were actually shot there the year of the movie's release. Myers came out and said that he would never have been there. And then rumors of a rift between Myers and Carvey have long circulated. From Wayne's World to SNL's inception, rumors of a rift between Mike Myers and Dana Carvey have made their rounds. Many anonymous insiders in an article in Vanity Fair claiming that Myers didn't want to be upstaged by Carvey, whose comedic profile was much higher when the sketch first began. Yeah, but it's weird. I honestly know Mike Myers better than I know Dana Carvey, and short of Wayne's World, not the biggest Dana Carvey fan. Like, that and, like, the church lady sketch from Saturday Night Live are about the only things I'll really tolerate him in. I saw Master of Disguise, and I thought that he was the worst part of that movie. Not gonna lie. Stan Mitka's Donuts doesn't actually exist. Mitka, former Chicago Blackhawks player, told Blackhawks magazine in 2009 that when Lorne Michaels realized Aurora was right outside of Chicago, they thought it was a perfect opportunity for them to give local fictional hangout a more relatable theme. And I know we have a bunch of big hockey fans up here, too. And then the last fun fact we have, Myers didn't think that the headbanging was funny. Director Penelope Cephas said that she had to negotiate with the actor, and after making him do it over and over again, he apparently was very upset with her. The actors supposedly were very sore from reshooting the scene over and over. You can actually see the attempts, or Myers attempting to limit his head movement in the final shot. I get it. Headbanging's hard. It hurts sometimes. Honestly, every now and then I have to take a day or two after a concert off to just sort of recoup. It used to be I only had to take a day off, or like, the next morning I might be a little sore, but the day after I'd be fine. Since then, it's gotten painful. But hit me up on Twitter and on Facebook, at TheBuzzKGRG. Let me know what were your earliest influences for music, because we're going to be talking about that again at 8:20. We got Hashed Out coming up next after Time to Go Home by Chastity Belt on 89.9 KGRG FM. You're listening to The Buzz.
It's time to see what weird and crazy things are trending out there in the Twitterverse. This is Hash It Out, right here on The Buzz.
KGRG FM, KGRG FM, HD1 Auburn, also broadcasting on K207 AP, Seminary Lake Taps, 89.3 FM. You're listening to The Buzz. It is indeed time to Hash It Out. It's where we take those hashtags that are trending on Twitter, we discuss them a little bit, because that's always fun, right? And this morning, if you want to play along, at The Buzz KGRG on Facebook and on Twitter, have hashtag epic fail shows and hashtag believable scandals. For example, for epic fail shows, we have 16 times pregnant. And that sounds about right. When one time, my dog was just sort of chilling out in the living room, just watching what my roommate left on TV, and it was 16 and pregnant. Now, it seemed like those girls, all of them were, like, just had kids, and none of them were older than one or two, but then they're all getting pregnant again. I don't know how you can have so many kids so damn early. I don't get it. I had a hard enough time getting laid. Next one we have hashtag epic fail shows. Shrubs. Because, you know, everybody likes botanical doctors, I guess? I don't There we go. Next one we have, hashtag Betwitched, because live streaming your favorite witch would be fun. We also have hashtag Epic Fail Shows the C Team. I mean, the Cork Team doesn't sound terrible. That has a nice ring to it. We have hashtag Epic Fail Shows Teen Titans Stops, not the original. I mean, Teen Titans Go. Like, Teen Titans Go itself is a fail for me. I can't watch it. I tried. It's like, oh, Teen Titans is back. It's not. And if you don't know about it, now you know. Don't fall into that trap. We have hashtag epic fail shows. The Flasher. Fun fact, kids, that's illegal. We also have hashtag epic fail shows. A Law and Order special vasectomy unit. That's always sounded super terrifying to me as a dude. Not gonna lie. Like, I understand. Like, that sort of extreme birth control in general, where you're just like, I'm done, don't even want to chance it. is extreme, and they're always risking complications with any surgery, but, like, I don't want to. That sounds terrifying. Now, if I could take some sort of dude pill, that'd be great. But vasectomy, no thank you. Next hashtag we have, hashtag believable scandals. For example, hashtag believable scandal. The fifth dentist was paid a great sum by Trident's competitors not to recommend it to their patients. I never got that. In the Trident commercials, so is 4 out of 5 dentists all agree that Trident gum is good for your teeth. But what about the fifth dentist? Is he just... could they not bribe him enough? We have hashtag believable scandals. Man's ugly sunglasses go missing. Wife suspected of sabotage. I had an ex who did that. Wasn't just my sunglasses, though. If she didn't like a t-shirt, she would hide it from me. And if I didn't know it was missing within 2 weeks, she would throw it out. Not a bad way to get rid of old clothes that you don't wear anymore or you wouldn't miss. But at the same time, I later found out, dude, there were some t-shirts that I really missed. Hashtag believable scandals. The tape reveals Adam Sandler is actually profoundly funny. I don't get all the Adam Sandler hate. I think he's funny. Hashtag believable scandals. The Burger King renounces his crown after Dairy Queen finds him in bed with the Commoner Wendy. I mean, can't blame him though. Wendy's is delicious. Ayo! Now, our last one. Hashtag believable scandals. It's not butter. It actually isn't butter, believe it or not. See what I did there? Yeah! Let's hash it out on 89.9 KGRGFM. We'll be back with The Situation after Bad Catholics by the Menzingers on 89.9 KGRGFM. You're listening to The Buzz. KGRG 89.9 FM, you're listening to The Buzz. It's time for The Situation, where we're given a series of different, you know, situations, and every time you make a choice, there's always a consequence, or nothing comes for free, man. There's always some sort of consequence behind everything. So we're given a series of consequences and a series of corresponding situations, and if you want to chime in, you can call 253-833-5004. Put in your 2 cents, also at the Buzz KGRG on Facebook and on Twitter. We also have our question of the day, which is who/what was your first musical influence? We also have it up on our Instagram at the Buzz KGRG. Listen for your responses at 8:20. I'll read them on air because reading people's stuff is cool. Or you can call me again at 253-833-5004. Let's get into it though. Because our first situation is, you have the ability to control anything with your mind, but every time you do, you almost you get an almost unbearable headache. I can say words. Now here's the deal. Every now and then, I already get unbearable headaches, and it sucks, but you know what? There are drugs out there for it. Not gonna lie. Or, you know what? You don't always have to use it. You can just have the option to. It's always nice to have the option of mind control, right? And I'm not sure what it is about comics and movies, but every time there's some sort of like telekinesis power or mind control or anything, it's always associated with like nosebleeds. Never got that. Like your nose bleeds because your nose dries out, not because your brain leaks. I don't know how else to explain that to people who do movies. Just let me direct a movie. Let me direct Suicide Squad 2. Who needs Mel Gibson, right? But it looks like 69% of the internet agreed that they'd take mind control powers in exchange for headache, while 31% said they'll skip the headache altogether because they already have a big enough one as it is. Our next situation, all apps are free on any phone in the world, but every phone is twice as expensive. Dude, phones are already expensive. Like, even a low-end, like, prepaid phone, you go to Walmart for a decent smartphone, it's going to cost you $100. If not, like, 120 or something. And it sucks. But now that... I actually grew up without a cell phone. My brother and I, for emergencies, had to share, like, the old Nokia phone, and eventually it turned up into a flip phone and blah, 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 blah. Story goes on. I actually didn't have my own cell phone until... was it, like the year after high school. And it sucked. Kind of hinders your social life when you find out everyone's texting but you. But once I got my smartphone, I couldn't imagine living without it. It's my internet access. It's how I contact people, like, anywhere. Not just phone calls or texting, but emails, Facebook, social media, Twitter. I very rarely ever use a computer anymore. So, and plus I have Android, so most of the apps are already free anyways. You just have to pay for, like, the ad-free version. So I'm going to skip that one. 50% of the internet said they would take any app for free, while 50% said, you know what, I also own an Android. Our next situation, you can have any car you want and change it whenever you want, but you have to listen to the worst radio station in your town whenever the car is on. I mean, then you couldn't listen to KGRG and you couldn't listen to me, right? Although, I'm not sure that's that much of an issue anymore. Most cars just sort of come with a aux cord cable, right? Or you choose not to listen to a radio station. Though you shouldn't. You should listen here, because you already are, and good for you, man. So I skip it, because being a radio person, I enjoy my music. Our general manager, Tom Krause, teaches Journalism 110, which is taking registration currently. One of the things he mentions is he has, like, something crazy, like 14 presets on his radio. And he switches through all of them. And since I joined KGRG, I've noticed myself flipping through stations. 62% of the internet said they would take any car they wanted, while 38% said they like the radio too much. I guess you could take one of those electric cars or get something fancy, or change your car according to the weather. That'd be neat. Our next one, your crush likes you, but you can't do anything physical together. So basically, you're a rogue from X-Men. Except you can't even, like, wear prophylactics. Yeah. That's a weird one. I've had a couple of crushes actually like me, but there was one time where she was seeing somebody else and it got awkward. And you know what? I would take it. If we could end up being together, the physical stuff is just sort of an extra sometimes. It's necessary for procreation, blah, 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 blah. But you know what? If I like my crush and they like me, hopefully there's something there and we can actually enjoy being in each other's company and figure something else out later, right? Also reminds me of a show I watched on Hulu called, what was it? Called The Misfits. And one of the chicks had the power to sexually arouse anyone who touched her. So when she actually had a crush who liked her and who she liked, she couldn't touch him or else, like, it wouldn't be the same. So that's always been an interesting thing in comic books and movies, is that sort of, what would you do if you can do the physical stuff with your best friend or your crush or whatever, right? Next one we have, you get to live with any celebrity you choose, but they're constantly singing show tunes. I mean, then you get Lin-Manuel, right? The guy who plays Hamilton in Hamilton. Like, pick somebody who's won a Tony. Pick somebody who's good at singing. Then it won't matter. Hell, Bill Murray, I'd love to hear him sing. Or hearing Will Shatner do his spoken word, that'd be perfect. I'd love it. 61% of the internet said they would. 39% said they wouldn't. I mean, come on. Or it says any celebrity. Pick a famous singer. Come on, it's not that hard. Next and last situation we have is you'll have a pleasant wet dream forever, but Freddy Krueger will haunt you when you're awake. No, thank you. I can't watch horror movies. I can't do it. But that was the situation on 89.9 KGRG FM. Stay tuned because we got your I Prevail tickets coming up next. If you want a head start, get 253-833-5004 and your phone ready to go. Your news is up next.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Breaking news. Breaking news.
This hour's news is brought to you by KGRG presents I Prevail. Playing with Wage War Islander and assuming we survive at El Corazon That's going to be March 8th. If you want tickets, call right now, 253-833-5004. That's 253-833-5004 for free I Prevail tickets. They're playing with Wage War Islander and Assuming We Survive.
Yes!
Again, all you gotta do is call, man. It's 253-833-5004. In the meantime, you know what? Let's go and get in some news. Because if you didn't know, Bigfoot's still out there. That's right. The state of Washington, they're proposing a bill that would make Sasquatch the official cryptid of Washington State. In Olympia, a new bill seeks to designate Sasquatch as the official cryptid of Washington State. A cryptid is defined by Oxford Dictionary as an animal whose existence or survival is disputed or unsubstantiated. The bill, sponsored by the Republican Senator Ann Rivers of La Center, was introduced this week after Caleb, a boy in Rivers' legislative district, wrote a letter suggesting the official status of Sasquatch, also known as Bigfoot or Forest Yeti. I love science and watching YouTube videos about Bigfoot. Washington State is the leader in Bigfoot sightings, wrote the third grader. I have started an online petition with my dad and my grandpa asking people to sign to make Bigfoot our state's cryptid. Now, as adorable as this is, not gonna lie, a little annoying. Because Rivers couldn't resist the opportunity for a teaching moment, the result was State Bill 5816, which recognizes Sasquatch's immeasurable contributions to Washington State's cultural heritage and ecosystem, and the importance of preserving the legacy of Sasquatch. Am I irritated about this? It's because I've actually gone to the state capitol, I've been to Olympia, Washington, I've sat in on a state senate session, not only that, but I've had the rare opportunity of actually dining in the dining hall they have exclusive for state legislatures. Now, these are busy people. Our government's a busy thing. And you're tossing in stuff like, hey, instead of voting on, I don't know, funding for schools or something like that, let's vote on Sasquatch, sure. There's nothing else pressing going on. It's not like we have landslides happening. It's not like we have public transportation projects that need to be funded. No, let's do the Sasquatch bill. Let's pay these people to sit and vote on whether or not they think a fictional or possibly non-fictional animal is real. And that seems like a good idea. And sorry, that's just irritating. Another irritating thing, speaking about Olympics, Olympia, the Olympic town that they used for the Rio Games is basically a ghost town now. Rio de Janeiro pulled off last year's Olympics, keeping crime at bay and fending off dire forecasts of corruption, environmental degradation, and cost overruns. But 6 months after South America's first games, the floodgates have burst. Rio organizers still owe creditors about $40 million. For the new arenas and the main Olympic Park have failed to find private sector management, and ownership is passed to the federal government. Another new arena will be run by the cash-strapped city of Brazil, struck in its deepest recession in decades. The historic Maracanã Stadium, site of the opening and closing ceremonies, has been vandalized as stadium operators, the Rio state government, and Olympic organizers have fought over $1 million in unpaid electricity bills. The electric utility reacted by cutting off all power to the city landmark. There are a few players for a new $20 million Olympic golf course and a little money for upkeep. Deodoro, the second largest cluster of Olympic venues, is closed and searching for a management company. Maceió Rio de Janeiro is months late paying teachers, hospital workers, and pensions. The state also reports record-breaking crime in 2016 in almost all categories from homicides to robbery. Now, that's a little disappointing. You put all this money and all this time building these infrastructures for something that happens every 4 years. Now, don't get me wrong, the Rio de Janeiro and any Olympic Games is a huge deal for any country that can host it. But it always seems like every year the host city is forced to put up a new stadium, and that's not cheap. Up here in Washington, we're struggling with a privately fully funded stadium to possibly get a NHL team and our NBA team, the Sonics, back. And yet, perfectly good stadiums just going to waste because they were forced to make it in order to accommodate this. I'm not even sure why Rio got it. If your country or your city or whatever is so in debt that building this is only going to cost it more and only cause more problems, why not pick a city or a country that already has stuff set up? Shoot, I know that just for like the White River Rapid section, because that's an event in the Olympics, China, when they had theirs 8 years ago or whatever the hell it was, might have been like 5 years ago, they had to build a separate man-made like white water rafting course just for that in the middle of the city of Beijing. That's insane. Our last news story, a Seattle officer uses a selfie to get her purse back, or a woman's purse back. A Seattle police officer recently reunited a California woman with her lost purse thanks to a selfie. Seattle police said that the woman was on Capitol Hill early Sunday morning and approached Officer Eric Miracle. She said her friend took a rideshare service to the neighborhood, but she left her purse and wallet inside the car. She called the driver and offered to pay him to return. He reportedly refused and demanded more money, police say. Michael called the driver but could only reach his voicemail, so he sent the man a text message telling him he could be arrested and have his car impounded if the purse wasn't returned. The officer added his selfie to prove he was an officer. The driver called Michael and returned the purse. He said it was busy taking out affairs. The woman was leaving the next day, so police said it was difficult to pursue the case, but it still remains open. Have you ever lost anything on like a public service, public transportation, or even a rideshare? It's the worst feeling in the world. You get off the bus and you realize you forgot your headphones or your purse or your wallet or anything. God forbid something that important like a wallet or a purse. And just like that, you've got no money. Without your purse or your wallet, you can't use your ID to go to the bank and make a withdrawal. I remember one time that I lost my ID and my debit card wasn't working because it was expired and I was waiting for a new one. I couldn't go to the bank and get cash out or even cash my check because I had a temporary ID. It sucked. Again, worst feeling in the world. But that was the news on 89.9 KGRG FM. If you call me right now, 253-833-5004, I will hook you up with free I Prevail tickets. They're playing with Wage War Islander and Assuming We Survive. And hey, guess what? Up next, we got Better Without You by Assuming We Survive. The phone number to call for those free tickets is 253-833-5004.
You're listening to KGRG 89.9 FM, today's rock. Now it's time to sit back, relax, and crack open a six-pack with the buzz.
KGRG 89.9 FM. It is indeed time for our six-pack, where we count down the top six list of things that are awesome and occasionally not so awesome. This morning, though, we're going to be talking about musical influences. More specifically, the top six controversial songs that left their mark on pop culture. Now, at 8:20, we're going to be talking specifically about those musical influences. Who are your first ones? Who / what was your first musical influence? We're going to be talking about that specifically at 8:20. But you know what? Let's get into it with number six. We're going to start off with the Beatles. The Beatles and their song Get Back. Although the lyrics of the Beatles' hit Get Back are said by some to be about getting back to your inner child and inner peace, others believe that the tune is a covert attack on immigration in the United Kingdom. While there is little, if any, foundation on the claims, particularly as the Beatles embraced many different cultures and overall diversity, it still pops up every now and then in conspiracy discussions, usually right alongside the one where the real Paul McCartney died in 1966, but the band covered it up. Honestly, one of my favorite conspiracies of all time. There were alternative versions of the song recorded, which did indeed offer more direct references to immigration and to the United Kingdom. However, these satirical lyrics were written very much as a condemnation of racist and xenophobic attitudes. Now, yeah, that definitely sounds more of just a conspiracy theory instead of something that's actually factual. If you've ever listened to the Beatles, They're kind of hippies, man. Number five on our six-pack of the top six controversial songs that left their mark on pop culture is Better By You, Better Than Me by Judas Priest. When two young men, James Vance and Ray Belknap, attempted suicide in 1985, one of them succeeding, the parents of the survivor boy, Vance, claimed the song Better By You, Better Than Me was to blame, and the band had intentionally placed subliminal messages within the song to encourage such action. The trial lasted several days before dismissed from court. Judas Priest frontman Rob Halford stated to the press the following the case being thrown out that if the band had placed any messages in their songs, it would be to buy more of the records as opposed to suicide. Incidentally, Van did succeed in committing suicide in 1988 when he intentionally overdosed on painkillers. Yeah, that's what I don't get. If any bands were to plant subliminal messages, whether it's like, worship Satan, smoke drugs, blah, 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 you'd think if anything it'd be, hey, why don't you buy our music or buy more of our music? Like, not to make light of a terrible, terrible subject, but if people kill themselves or if they encourage people to kill themselves, they can't really buy more of their music and they end up losing out. It's not a very good business model. But I love those songs where it's just like, you know what, if you play this backwards, sort of sounds like they're saying you should worship Satan. It's neat. I don't encourage worshiping Satan, but you know what, you do you, homie. Number four on our six-pack of the top six most controversial songs that made their mark on pop culture was Rape Me by Nirvana. Songwriter Kurt Cobain claimed that the song Rape Me, from the final Nirvana studio album In Utero, was an anti-rape song, so many women's groups and rape survivor groups descended upon the band, arguing to the contrary. Given that Cobain often wrote words that had little meaning, the song was likely exactly that, just a song. If looking for any meaning at all, it could be argued that when read alongside the other words from the In Utero album, that the lyrics most likely refer to the music industry and Cobain's increasing disdain for it. Whether incidentally or because of the attention the song brought, the song did play numerous charity shows for victims of rape both in the U.S. and in war-torn Bosnia. And that sounds more accurate than, like, a song encouraging rape. That doesn't sound like Nirvana at all. And it sounds like them more to make a statement about how, as artists in general, they do get shafted pretty hard. There was a really good Netflix documentary I watched. Honestly, I forgot the name of it because I was not entirely sober. But it was all about how bands only make their money off, like, once you get big on a big record label, you only make your money off of, like, selling merch. You kind of lose the rights to your songs because they've gotten too big and you end up selling them off or the studio owns it. And you don't make that much off of ticket sales. So the only money you really make is off of t-shirts and stuff. So it honestly sounds like something Nirvana and Kurt Cobain would do, to just mention how the music industry sort of sucks sometimes. That was part one of our six pack, 6, 5, and 4. We'll be back with part two, number 3, 2, and 1 of the top six controversial songs that made their dent on pop culture after I've Been Dead All Day by Bayside on 89.9 KGRG FM. You're listening to The Buzz.
And now, back to the six pack.
KGRG FM, KGRG FM, HD1 Auburn, also broadcasting on K207, AP 70 Lake Taps, 89.3 FM. You're listening to The Buzz. We're in the middle of our six-pack. Our six-pack of the top six controversial songs that made their mark on pop culture. Number six was Get Back by the Beatles. Number five, Better By You, Better Than Me by Judas Priest. And number four was Rape Me by Nirvana. Now, let's go ahead and get into part two with number three. Personal favorite of mine. I mean, if you're from the Pacific Northwest, you have to listen to Nirvana. It's a thing you have to do. I'm sorry. You can't live in the Seattle area, even Yakima in some cases, without saying you like Nirvana. But Iron Maiden is number three with their song Bring Your Daughter to the Slaughter. An unlikely Christmas number one as it was, the veteran rockers stormed the UK charts with their tentatively titled Bring Your Daughter to the Slaughter in late December 1990, entering the top spot for Christmas weekend and staying there into the new year. Written as part of the soundtrack for the latest Nightmare on Elm Street film, the song drew the attention of the groups who claimed it glorified violence towards women. The band completely denied this, stating the song was simply something off the cuff to fit in with the movie's theme. Although it wasn't banned, the original video of the song was scrapped after concerns it was too graphic given the complaints. A collection of live shots was hastily thrown together instead. And if you know Iron Maiden at all their songs are pretty brutal, man. Like, you talk about Run to the Hills, all about people killing Native Americans. That's what that song's about, man. It's about them running them down and slaughtering them. Kind of a brutal song. It brings light to the issue and it talks about it. But it happens in most rock songs in general. Like, you listen to AC/DC. They have songs about having relations with women, and that's all it is. Give it a dog a bone, all about just doing chicks. So, it's just off-the-cuff song. You don't have to like it if you don't want to, but whatever. Number two, Suicide Solution by Ozzy Osbourne. Ozzy Osbourne is no stranger to controversy at the best of times, but when he found himself in the U.S. court charged with encouraging the suicide of fans through the use of backwards messages in his songs, even the most conspiracy-minded of people had to shake their heads a little. The song in question, Suicide Solution, is about the dangers of alcohol and the slow way it will kill you if you allow yourself to be used by it. However, according to the parents of John McCollum, Ozzy has inserted instructions in his music for his fans to commit suicide. Their son had shot himself after the backwards satanic messages he heard in the song told him to, quote, get the gun, shoot. The case was ultimately thrown out of the courts due to a complete lack of evidence. However, Osbourne faced increasing picketing from religious groups across America at his shows for the years after. And again, just like with Judas Priest, if you tell your fans to kill themselves and they actually do it, you lose out on record sales. And then we got number two on our six-pack of the top six songs that left their mark on pop culture. The Sex Pistols with God Save the Queen. And honestly, one of my favorite Simpsons episodes is the one where... it's the Valentine's Day episode, so kind of fitting this week, where Bart's story was all about the Sex Pistols. The only time in UK history where there was officially no songs at the number one position was the week where the punk rock band, the Sex Pistols, had their song God Save the Queen reach the top spot. Such was the disgust of the majority of decent people in British society that the BBC refused to play or even acknowledge the song. As you might imagine, going by that logic, if someone says you can't have it, you must only want it more, many young punk fans rushed to buy copies as well as packing out their shows up and down the country. The song itself is an attack on the monarchy, which the writer of the lyrics, John London, refers to as the fascist regime who have made a moron out of you. And punk bands, historically, that's what they do, man. Like it or not, they sing about political issues going on, and the more political issues there are, typically, we get better punk music, and that's why I was kind of excited to see Green Day putting out new stuff. So, we're at number one. It's Guns N' Roses, One in a Million. In the space of just over 4 minutes, using songs such as the N-word and the F-word, Axl Rose vocalist and writer for One in a Million managed to offend the gay community, immigrants, the police, and the black community, not to mention many anti-racist and anti-discrimination groups. The overall feeling of the otherwise largely forgotten song was one of suspicion, derogatory tones, and aggression to those who, different from him. In his defense, Rose stated that it was simply his personal observations and reflections on his experiences when he first moved to Los Angeles, while also offering his guitarist was of mixed race. His mother was black and his dad was white, so he couldn't be, and indeed wasn't racist, although he was really been critical of Rose's personally over the lyrics, has constantly stated that he doesn't care for the song. While Rose is, to the best of the known world's knowledge, certainly not racist, it is not of his most well-thought-out moments, something that he himself has admitted since. honestly, not the biggest fan of swearing in songs. Sometimes I get it, and for, like, artistic integrity sometimes is needed. But don't make a song where you just end up sounding racist. You know, he had to write down those lyrics, he had to sing the song, he had to perform it in front of the band. And not only that, but in front of the people in the studio, and you'd think at one point somebody would have stopped him and said, hey, dude, this is coming off as a little racist and a little anti-gray, a little discriminatory. Maybe you should back off. But that was our six-pack, our top six iconic songs that left their mark on pop culture. It's the top six, excuse me. Most controversial songs that left their mark on pop culture on 89.9 KGRG FM. Stay tuned, because at 8:20, we're going to read your responses about who/what were your musical influences, your first ones. Who/what were your first musical influences? You can call me at 253-833-5004 or on Twitter and Facebook at TheBuzzKGRG. We'll be back after God Save the Queen by Sex Pistols. KGRG 89.9 FM. That was The Morning After with their song Burnout. You can get their EP that just dropped, Stay for Breakfast, on Bandcamp. You get the physical copy, because physical copies is always cool. But I'm bringing them up, because they're playing next week at the Showroad Center with Bret Michaels and Warrant. And that's significant for me, because Warrant was one of those bands that I had on my iPod ever since I got an iPod or anything that could play MP3s. And part of the reason behind that is because iTunes kind of sucks, especially if you have dial-up. And you can only ever find songs if you know the exact title. And the only time I ever knew the title to a song is if it was on Rock Band, because I actually had it spelled out for me because I suck at spelling. But what you gonna do, right? But as far as my personal first musical influences, and it actually ties in with the response I had on Instagram. One response I had was, my parents listened to country music when I was growing up, so I had George Strait, Clint Black, Aaron Tipton, and all that 90s country music. However, when I started taking an interest in myself, I stole friend's older sister CDs. So that got me Our Lady Peace, Weezer, Nirvana, Soundgarden, Foo Fighters, and all that kind of stuff. And I still love all that music today. That from Rock Smash Shane Photography on Instagram. And yeah, I started off with 90s country as well. My first concert was George Strait at the Puyallup Fair. And yeah, it's different country. It's different country from what you could hear today. It's more about storytelling, and I think that was appealing at the time. Well, that and my mom kind of controlled the radio, so that's what I got stuck with. But then my dad ended up influencing me a ton with a little Bachman Turner Overdrive, Taking Care of Business. A whole lot of that stuff. That and like AC/DC, he got me into Rush for the first time. A lot of older people influenced it, whether it's like my parents directly or some of their friends. One of my mom's friends ended up getting me into the Eagles, which is weird. And all the way up into high school, man, I was into, I guess you'd call it oldies rock? Or like really heavy metal. My friend John was the one who first got me into folk metal. I went to my first folk metal concert, Alvede at El Corazon, and that was insane. Freaking Wall of Death and everything, and that was actually a Valentine's Day show. I ended up seeing 6 Inches of Blood, and that's where I got into more current metal, if you could call Iron Maiden metal. So call me at 253-833-5004, or hit me up on Instagram and on Facebook, who/what was your first musical influence? And a lot of it's parents, man. Parents are the ones who control your radio. And it's a ton of fun. But we got your news coming up next. We also have your last chance at I Prevail tickets. We'll have them again tomorrow. This is your last chance today, so stay tuned in. We'll be back after Skate and Destroy by Acid Teeth. You're listening to The Buzz.
Breaking news.
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 This hour's news is brought to you by KGRG Prevents. I Prevail. The special guest Wage War Islander, and assuming we survive, they're playing El Corazon on Wednesday, March 8th. So if you want to win tickets, that number is 253-833-5004. That's 253-833-5004 for free I Prevail tickets. Call right now and they're yours. Woo! Let's go ahead and get into some news. Good morning. How are you doing, Jay?
I'm doing good. That rain last night, you know, that's caused some issues today for the greater Seattle area, I tell you what.
You have no idea.
I looked into the news, so I might have a little bit of an idea.
Well, there you go. Dude did his research.
All right. So first off, what we're going to talk about today is the Navy up in Whidbey Island held a town hall meeting yesterday to address a new health concern that has arisen due to a chemical called PFA that is used to combat fires. This chemical has recently found its way into the water of Whidbey Island that has a lot of locals and residents concerned that it has affected longer or has affected the community longer than what the Navy has suggested. During the town hall meeting, the Navy held, there was scientists and public representation on how the Navy is going to handle this. Over 170 tests have been done, and at least 8 wells that have been tested over that 170 has come up with higher than normal levels of PFA. The Navy investigation is still in the process of determining how far this chemical has spread. For the local news, that this weather that we are oh so lovely to have, the I-90 westbound traffic has been blocked due to a mudslide. However, that is not the biggest issue that has come up with this recent news, or with this recent weather for the news. The South Transit North line for sound services has been closed due to a mudslide across the tracks. Officials say that the tracks are expected to reopen by Monday afternoon. Until then, prioritized buses have been assigned to pick up the slack where the train has not been able to. For specific bus routes and pickup times, it is on the Sound Transit webpage. Going into weather, since we all love the rain, today we're going to have partly showers this afternoon with a high of 53. Tomorrow is clouds with some sun in the afternoon and a high of 54. Going into the weekend, we are looking at showers Saturday, Sunday, and even going into Monday with an average high of 49 degrees. That's all I have for you, Cork. Hopefully you're going to have some fun.
Yeah, man. Now, I had a band coming up from Lakewood yesterday because of the rain and everything. They couldn't make it up here in time.
Oh, they
traffic's is just sucked because of it.
Oh yeah, man. Like I've told you, I mean, I'm new to this area, so I've always followed that stereotype that Seattle is always going to be raining. So I figured you guys would always be used to this, but since I've actually been living here for a few months, I've actually noticed that
it makes things worse.
It does, and you would think with all the spillways and all that, that a lot of these mudslides and a lot of the road closures due to flooding wouldn't really be happening, but I guess that's what happens when you live in a place that rains like 80% of the time.
Even when it's too sunny outside, it catches people off guard.
Oh, yeah, that's one thing I've been noticing. I mean, what was it? That freaking teeny bopper Twilight movie was based somewhere around here, and the reason why the vampires were up here is because there was no sun.
Well, I want to give a quick shout out to Charles. He just hopped out of the shower and ended up winning some I Prevail tickets, so shout out to him. He's going to see them March 8th at El Corazon. Super excited about that. But a band that's playing tonight at Real Art Tacoma, I interviewed him yesterday. It's Cashy and Karma with their song. I swear I'm prepared with this. It's their song, On Our Skin, off of their album, Earthbound, on 89.9 KGRG. You're listening to The Buzz. Pain on 89.9 KGRG FM. You're listening to The Buzz, and speaking of pain, my throat is freaking killing me. I thought I was done being sick, but I guess not. But before I get out of here, we did have a couple more responses on our question of the day. For hashtag question of the day, who/what were your first musical influences? The Not So Much But Us show, Matt chimed in with, let's be honest, a lot of pop boy bands, then The Offspring, and then Mark from Blink, because, yeah, I used to slap bass strings. And oh yeah, and let's not forget Limp Bizkit and Slipknot, who didn't have their boy band phase, right? Like, if you didn't listen to NSYNC and or Backstreet Boys back in the day, you didn't have any musical tastes. I hate to say it, but thank God for stepsisters, because I couldn't buy the CDs myself. I had too much self-respect. But hey, that's why I'm on the radio now. And this has been The Buzz on 89.9 KGRG-FM. If you want to catch this episode, or past episode, maybe a couple of interviews, what have you, visit KGRG.com, download the official KGRG-FM app. It's all free to stream and free to download, you know, so just do it from KGRG.com while you're already there. Don't forget, tonight, the guys from Cashing and Karma, they were here yesterday for an interview. They're playing at Rail Art Tacoma with Northern Shakedown and The Public. That's going to be tonight, February 16th. And show's only 10 bucks, so help support some local bands, support your local scene. Go check them out, it's going to be sick. Also, the ladies from The Morning After, they're going to be playing the Showwear Center next Thursday with Bret Michaels and Warrant. It's freaking insane. Stay tuned, we're going to see what we can do about tickets for that one, but go check out Cashier and Karma tonight. Until tomorrow morning, bright and early, 6 a.m. on KJRG-FM. Hopefully my voice doesn't crap out on me. But this has been The Buzz.